finish up with something that we discussed yesterday about Erev Pesach, Chalias, and Shabbos. Let's just summarize in very quickly what we learned yesterday. We discussed yesterday four reasons why it's problematic to eat matzah, shmur matzah, Erev Pesach. This year, Erev Pesach, Shabbos. So there is a mitzvah to eat a seuda on Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos day, even Shalosh Shabbos. And the seuda demands that we have bread, but the home, our home, everyone's home is kosher l'Pesach. And how are you going to eat bread on Shabbos leading into Pesach? Especially if you want to eat a seuda after the soif zman achila. Let's make believe soif zman achila is 10 o'clock. I'm just making up that number. I don't know what it is. Let's say it's 10 o'clock. Let's say you won't eat bread after 10 o'clock. So what's the problem? Just eat shmura matzah. Take two matzahs. No, that's what we give the solution. But look, what's the two? I'm going to be very quickly. We learned yesterday. Very quickly. Why can't you just daven regular 9 o'clock, come back from shul 11:30, 12 o'clock, take out two shmur matzahs and eat matzah, make a moitzi, eat yisuda, and then when it comes night, you'll go and you'll eat matzah again. L'shem matzah, l'shem mitzvah matzah. What's the problem? And do the same thing Friday night. So we get four problems with doing this. Number one, there is a minhag not to eat matzah chodesh Nisan. Number two, the Rambam says that you're not supposed to eat matzah the entire Erev Pesach because of havchana, to show tonight is Pesach and today is not Pesach. You have to make a separation to demonstrate that when you're eating the matzah at night, you're eating the matzah l'shem mitzvah. It's not enough to say l'shem yichud. L'shem yichud, kudosh abrichu, shchini b'tchilu, urchim b'liach eid, shem yitke b'vavke, I'm eating this matzah, l'shem matzah, mitzvah. That's not enough, the Rambam says. You have to do something more. You have to not eat the matzah, Erev Pesach, to show that when you're eating matzah at night, you're eating l'shem matzah, now you're eating l'shem dinner. Number three, here you have a Maimer Chazal. This is the very serious Maimer Chazal. Anyone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach, it's as if he's boil arusasai. Number four, Te'ovon, appetite. So those four reasons, prevent us more or less from eating shemura matzah. Okay, good. So what's the next thing to do? Eat chametz. Gevaldik, eat chametz. If you eat chametz, well, Friday night, fine. But Shabbos morning, you got to make sure you finish your chametz before 10 o'clock. So what are you going to do before 10 o'clock? Make sure you daven early. You have to daven very, very early. Get home, enough time to eat your chametz, and make sure you dispose of your chametz. Because you can't burn the chametz. You have to dispose of it properly. So make sure there's enough time to eat, to clean your hands, to clean out your mouth in a proper way, and to wash your hands, and to take any leftover crumbs and flush it down the toilet, and make sure you don't buy too much chametz, just enough what to eat. Okay, so that's a solution. What's the problem with that? For not everyone is comfortable having chametz in the house and having chametz at the table and cleaning and flushing it down the toilet. You know, it's not for everyone. So that's a problem. Then there was a halachic issue that we discussed, that if you do this, it's not really much of an issue. I don't think people take this too seriously. But if you do eat bread, and then you want to you then clean your hands and dispose of the bread, there's a halachic issue called siluk. Siluk literally means you are removal. If you eat a meal, and then you make a declaration, we will no longer eat bread. We're done with the bread. All of the courses that we are going to serve in this meal, it will not be accompanied by bread. According to the letter of the law, you are now required to make a new barucha for every item that you eat. Because the barucha of hamoitzi only exempts all of the items that you eat when they're eaten together with the bread. But if you make a declaration that you will no longer eat bread, then you are going to need to make a new barucha rishona. Question: now, if that was absolutely correct, then that would be a solution. Just eat your chametz, remove the chametz, and make new blessings. But the problem is that today we don't look at it like that. Today, most people, when they eat the meal, they don't eat the course of meal accompanied by bread. They eat a little teeny morsel of bread, and they're done. And then everything else, they eat without bread. So we have a dilemma. Should you make a bracha? Should you not make a bracha? So the solution we said was, at the end of the meal, you should have bread again. And you should plant that bread again at the end of the meal. And then you have no problem of siluk, but you have the hassle of bringing chametz to the table twice, and you get nervous, and your family gets nervous, and your wife gets nervous. It's not very practical. If you want, you can go, don't eat the bread at the dining room table, eat the bread in the corner of the room. You wash, you make kiddush, and then you go to the corner of the room, you sit down on a stool, on a little chair that's clean, and you make hamoitzi and lechem mishneh, you eat it, and you flush down the crumbs in the toilet, and then you clean yourself off, and you go back to your kosher LePesach dining room table. That's fine. Should you eat a second time? That's up to you. At the end, go back and do it a second time. That's, you know, whatever. Most people in the Makbar and Siluk, the only issue there is that make sure you don't go outside your home. It should be Kiddush B'Mokoyim Su'udah. That's a definite solution. That's how proud many people do it. However, we presented yesterday another solution called egg matzah. Egg matzah is called matzah shira, flour that has been kneaded with eggs, or for that matter, fruit juices. And the law is, egg matzah is a type of matzah which you cannot fulfill your obligation on the night of Pesach. If you cannot fulfill your mitzvah with matzah ashira, the mitzvah of matzah, it's not called a violation of boil arusasai. It's not included in the prohibition, in the obligation of hafchana, according to the Rambam. There is no problem of te'ovoin, of appetite, because the taste of egg matzah is very, very different than the taste of real matzah. And as far as the minig is concerned, the minig is only for matzah which is eligible to be eaten for the night of Pesach, not for matzah that is not eligible to be eaten to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah below Pesach. So many people indeed use this solution, but this solution also demands that you eat the egg matzah before 10 o'clock, because a healthy person is not allowed to eat egg matzah on Pesach, because we are concerned with the opinion that holds that if you add a fruit juice or any other liquid other than water to flour, it instantly turns into chametz. Instantly. Instant chametz. And therefore, if a person were to eat egg matzah, even though on the box it says kosher lePesach egg matzah, you're really eating chametz gomor. So we don't accept that. That halacha is rejected. We hold that if you add mei peres to flour and you watch it and you do everything you're supposed to do, it is not chametz. But out of respect for the opinion that says that it is chametz, we have a compromise. And the compromise is, don't eat it, but you are allowed to possess it in your home. And you need not be concerned about crumbs. You don't have to worry about crumbs. If you eat a crumb of matzah shir on Pesach, it's okay. No harm done. Thank you very much for the coffee. Sure. Thank you. No harm done. So this is an ideal solution for the vast majority of us. The vast majority of people that I speak to already, so the people are eating egg matzah. They're not looking for trouble. Now, be very careful to make sure you purchase kosher lePesach egg matzah. When you're cleaning for Pesach and you discover in your closet that you have egg matzah, oh, gewaldig, I have egg matzah. I'll save this for Erev Pesach, Shechal Dios v'Shabbos. No. If that box does not say upon it kosher lePesach egg matzah, that box of matzah is chometz gomor. And if it's chometz gomor, it's no different than eating bread. You have to have special kosher lePesach egg matzah. That matzah you're allowed to possess over Pesach. There's no prohibition of bal yeroheh, bal yemotzeh. Everything is fine and good. You don't have to be concerned for crumbs. You can bring it to your dining room table. You can get the crumbs over all the other food. And you eat your su'uda. And the only thing you need to do is to make sure you finish eating your egg matzah by 10 o'clock. And that's it. You don't have to worry. You don't have to do, you don't have to worry about anything. Everything is fine and good. Shalom al Yisrael.
You bless hamotzi.
Of course, you make hamotzi neg matzah. The Svardim, Ashkenazim always will make a hamotzi lechem in aretz on egg matzah because that's tsurasa de nahama. It's not a bagel. It's not a mezonos bagel. Mezonos bagel is a very controversial. It's a very controversial product. But egg matzah is not controversial. Egg matzah for Ashkenazim is never a controversy. For an Ashkenazim, egg matzah, it looks like matzah. It tastes like matzah to a degree. Enough. Tastes like matzah. And even though it's made with meperos, there is nothing to discuss. And you kaveh suda, you recite a hamotzi lechem in aretz on egg matzah. The Sfardim ordinarily do make a borei minei mezonos on egg matzah. But even they will make a hamotzi lechem in aretz when they are kaveh suda. If a Sfardi, if the only difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim regarding egg matzah is if you eat an egg matzah as a snack. A snack. You come over here to the shir, and you want to snack on something, you want to nibble on something, and you eat an egg matzah. So a Svardi, he will make a borei minei mezonos and will make an al hamichya. An Ashkenazi has to wash, even if he's eating it as a snack. But if the Svardi is sitting down to a meal and he's kaveh su'uda on an egg matzah for his lecha mishnah, even they have an obligation to recite the hamotzi lechem in aretz, and it's okay. Is eating egg matzah a perfect solution? Not really, because is it really called havchana, a separation between Pesach and not Pesach? Well, technically yes, but not 100%. Matzah is matzah. Tonight I'm eating matzah, so today you should not be eating matzah. Don't confuse me with the facts that the matzah you're eating now is egg matzah and tonight is regular matzah. So it's not perfect. What about te'avon? You'll tell me, well, this tastes very different. Okay, it tastes very different, but there are definite similarities. Is it a pure fulfillment of te'avon? Not really. What about boil out usasai? I cannot be yoytze the mitzvah. I can't be yoytze the mitzvah. Okay, and also the boil out usasai is only after chatzos. Okay, it's true. Technically, you're right, but it's not in the spirit of the law. See, there is the letter of the law, and there is the spirit of the law. Are you eating shmur matzah Shabbos morning? No. You're not going to eat that. If you're not going to eat shmur matzah, so the spirit of the law tells you, don't eat matzah, period. And don't confuse me with this matzah, that matzah. It looks like this. It tastes like this. If you want to really follow the spirit of the law, stay away from anything that is called matzah Shabbos morning. But that comes with a price. Your nerves, your shalom bias, that you may have to hire a plumber on Chalamoe to come fix your toilet. It comes with quite a price if you want to be pure and loyal to the spirit of the law. And many Gedolei Yisrael say, don't go too far with that. Just save yourself a headache and eat egg matzah.
You said
Moshe Feinstein, 1956, says that's what you should do. That's what it's a good thing to do. I don't think he says you should. It's a good thing to do. And that's what the Sfardim do. And the Ashkenazim also do it. They also, many of them do it. The people, I told you my theory yesterday, people who are looking for trouble, who want an adventure, who want to make a show, want to make a lot of noise. There are people like that. They want to make a lot of noise. So they do it. Then there's definitely a Svara. People will tell you, my Zayda didn't do it. My elder Zeta didn't do it. You know why they didn't do it? I'll tell you very simply why they didn't do it. Because they didn't have egg matzah those days. Today, we have factories. There's money to be made by making egg matzah. Back in the olden days, it wasn't like that. It didn't exist. You had to make it yourself. You had to make egg matzah yourself. Yeah, the reason why they didn't use this solution 100 years ago was because they just didn't have egg matzah. So you'll say, what's the big deal? Make egg matzah. Just make it. Well, why didn't they have it? What do you mean they didn't have it? It's not so simple. It's hard enough to make kosher lePesach shemura matzah. To go make kosher lePesach egg matzah is a nightmare. It's hard enough. People didn't have, they were very poor, and they had limited time, limited resources, and it was a big enough ordeal to prepare for Pesach, kosher lePesach, regular matzah. A special kosher lePesach egg matzah in order to be yoytzei, the seudos of Erev Pesach Shechal Yoyz B'Shabbos. Really? It's so easy? 100 years ago to do that? It seems like it wasn't so easy. It seems like it was a very big strain on people to do something like that. So they just leave me alone. I'll eat my chametz. I'll sit in the corner, eat my chametz. Big deal. Big deal. Holding this takes 5 minutes. I had to go make a special run of kosher, Pesach, egg matzah. The reason why the Zayde didn't do it was because they didn't have a pomegranate that sells kosher, Pesach, egg matzah. And if they had a pomegranate in his day that sold you kosher lePesach egg matzah, you know something? He probably would have bought egg matzah. He also didn't need the headache. So now you come along here and you say, well, my Zeta didn't do it, so I'm not going to do it. Really? I don't know. Who am I to say? You're going to read a lot about this, that it's not tradition. Tradition. It's not tradition to do this. Why is it not tradition? Because they held the halacha, it's not correct, or it's because they just didn't have the opportunity. And if we have the opportunity, so why trouble? Why make more trouble? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'dvarai. Okay, but now I want to present you some more ideas. Something was a little more lumnus, and this, I think this what I'm about to tell you touches upon some other big issues. There are other reasons why. I discovered yesterday why it's a very nice thing to have egg, to eat chametz. There are other reasons besides the fact that you are fulfilling the spirit of the law 100%. It's going to be eaten b'teavon, and there's havchana, and you're following all the rules. You dot the I's, cross the T's, every little thing is being fulfilled 100%. There's another reason why there's a good idea to eat chametz. Because you're mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Every year, Erev Pesach, there's a time-honored minog to destroy chametz. You destroy chametz, that's what you do. Erev Pesach, there's something to it. There's a mitzvah deraisa, a bir chametz. Is Tashbisu se'or mibotechem. There's a mitzvah asay to you possess chametz. Make a ceremony out of eliminating the chametz. Because as we all know, chametz represents the Yetzer Hara, it's not just a practical matter. The elimination of chametz, there's something about it. There's some religious element to eliminate chametz. This year, in a regular year, we make a big ceremony. The fire department, you hear the whole morning, the fire department, the sirens, the whole morning, if Erev Pesach on a regular year, the air, the pollution in Flatbush is unbelievable. Wherever you go, it smells from smoke. And you hear the whole morning, the fire trucks running around. Why, what, who, how, every year, Nochem, we can't get our act together. Whatever it is, it is. It's a whole ceremony every year. Every year. Every year there's a big ceremony of Tashbisu. This year, the fire department, they're coming around. That's right, on Friday, they'll be just as busy on Friday. But Friday is make believe. It's make believe Friday. That's not Tashbisu. That's just Sheloi Tishtakach Bir Chametz Mi Yisrael. That's just that next year we should not forget that you burn the chametz. But the burning of the chametz that we're going to do this year on Thursday, on Friday, it has no halachic significance whatsoever. It's not the day to destroy the chametz. How then are you going to be mekayim Tashbisu in its full glory on Erev Pesach? If you're going to take advantage of the egg matzah solution, which, disclaimer here, I'm eating egg matzah. I have no problem eating egg matzah. I'm eating egg matzah. But if you're going to take advantage of this, I'm just talking now theoretical concepts here with you. I assume everyone here, I would assume that 95% of the people listening here are going to be eating egg matzah. I don't know for sure, but it's probably very likely. That's what most people do. From my speaking to people, that's what it seems. But what's the problem with eating egg matzah? There is something very religious and very holy to eat chometz and have in your possession chometz Erev Pesach. And to take that chometz and destroy it. That's part of the mitzvah. Tashbisu so'or mi botecha. And that mitzvah is to be done bedafka Erev Pesach, right before Chatzos. If you're going to have egg matzah, you're going to lose out on that. You're going to totally miss the boat. Come home, sit by the table, you have egg matzah, it's kosher l'Pesach, no problem, no worries. Everything is fine, got some crumbs, big deal. Just you can't eat egg matzah because of this chumrah, so we eat egg matzah before 10 o'clock. Where's the beef? Where's the chametz that you're supposed to get rid of? If you have chametz and you eat it, the Baal Hamor says, one of the Rishonim, this is a kiyum de'oraisa of tashbisu. The same way there's tashbisu by burning it, by flushing it down the toilet, by zora l'ruach, crumbling it and throwing it into the wind, there's a mitzvah, you mekayim the mitzvah de'oraisa of tashbisu by eating the chometz. When you consume those last morsels of chametz that you possess in your possession, it's equivalent to burning the chametz. Some say, by the way, the haftorah of the Orval Hashem Minchas Yudav Yerushalayim, it says there the pasuk in the haftorah of Shabbos Hagadol, Hinei Yoim Boyer Koesh. And some want to suggest that the only time you read that haftorah of the Orval Hashem is only on Erev Pesach Chalias B'Shabbos, because of that pasuk, that Shabbos, the kedusha Shabbos, is the fire that burns the chametz. On a regular year, you have a regular fire. You go out in front of your house, you have a regular fire, you burn the chametz. Shabbos, you can't do that. The pasuk in the haftorah of Shabbos Hagadol says hinei hayoyim boyer koesh. The day is burning like fire. The day is the sreifa. But you have to have chametz in order to burn the day. The kedush of Shabbos should burn the chametz. If you're going to be eating egg matzah, you're not going to have your chametz. So it seems that is part of the reason, another element as to why there are many people who egg matzah, come on, those are for the minor leaguers.
Major. If you have a cup of schnapps with your egg matzah, you won't have any crumbs, and you'll have tashbisu.
If you eat a couple of schnapps, or schnapps is chametz, okay, but, okay, so you're eating chametz, it's true, you're having chametz. It's true, to a degree, but, by the way, schnapps is not real chametz. It's a chametz nuksha. It's not real chametz schnapps. It's called damaged chametz. I don't even know a good translation with nuksha. Big sugi of chametz nuksha. It's not 100% chametz schnapps. Close. Close, but eating bread is the real deal. By eating bread, you're preserving the flavor of Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, it used to be in the olden days, Erev Pesach, in the morning, you have breakfast, chametz.
Dr. Phil is right, you can drink rye with it.
It used to be in the olden days, you wake up Erev Pesach and you eat chametz. You eat real chametz breakfast. That's the way it's supposed to be. You have real chametz, and then you destroy it. It's part of tashbisu. So you're going to be losing out when you have egg matzah. Right, that's fine. Now that's one inyan. Now there, I want to tell you another inyan, which I came across. Doesn't say this 100% of the say, but I think there's some truth. This is very interesting. Let me ask you a general question. This is a very interesting question. According to many poskim, The mitzvah of eating bread, of having a suuda Shabbos morning with bread, is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa. Zochores yom haShabbos l'kadoshoy, pasuk navi, v'koroso l'Shabbos oineg. There are other psukim. I don't have for you chapter and verse, but it appears that many rishonim are of the opinion that eating a bread meal Shabbos at night and by day is not just a mitzvah d'rabbanan to give honor to Shabbos; it is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a very serious thing to eat a meal with bread. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, by the way, says you're not obligated. He says you can be mekayim the mitzvah of the suda with mezoinos. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that you have to eat bread. And some go so far to say that the bread is a de'oraisa. So here's a very simple question. A very simple, powerful, penetrating question. And the answer to the question opens up a whole world. The question is, the prohibition to eat matzah, shemura matzah, erev Pesach, after the whole erev Pesach, all the way up until the very last moment, is no more than an iser derabbanon, if it's even that. We all know no one would dare today eat, open up their shemura matzah, the box of shemura matzah, and take out shemura matzah and eat it erev Pesach. Why not? We discuss four reasons why not. Let's say a person would not obey the four reasons, and he would open up the box of matzah and sit down for lunch on Erev Pesach at 3 o'clock and wash and eat a shmur matzah. What aveira has he done? What level of Gehenim is he going to? For eating his shmur matzah, he washes and eats the shmur matzah, makes a moitzi with groisa kavana, and he eats the shmur matzah, and he benches, and then a couple of hours later, he goes to the seder and eats the matzah all over again. What avera has he really done by violating all four rules? He violated a minhag. He violated a maimer chazal. It's not a loisa say that says, boy alaru sasai.
Minhag Yisrael kedin.
Right, minhag is oiker din. Minhag is even stronger than a din. Okay, you're right. That's a agadic principle. That's maybe Allah. But it's not a biblical violation. This is not murder. This is not gili arayos. And this is not avodah zarah. If a person, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm hungry, I want to eat some matzah. You wash netilas yadayim, you take some delicious shmur matzah, and you have a little matzah, and then you wash shmayim achroinim, and you bench, and then you go daven mincha, you come home, all of your grandchildren come around, you have a beautiful seder with them. And you eat the matzah. What avera has this fellow done by eating shmur matzah 3 o'clock in the afternoon, erev Pesach? No, he did an avera. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toy v'lo yecheta. But he didn't commit murder. He didn't do gili arayis. He violated a minhag yisrael, which is serious. No, I'm not making light of going against tradition. Why am I saying this to you? This is not my question. This is what all the poskim ask this question. Eating a su'uda of bread on Shabbos Kodesh, according to many Rishonim, is a mitzvah de'oraisa. Not eating matzah, Erev Pesach, is at most, an Isser de'rabbanan, if even that. Why don't we say that the mitzvah d'oraisa of eating a su'uda of bread overrides the iser d'rabbanan of not eating matzah erev Pesach? I'm not eating the matzah for fun. I'm eating the shmur matzah to be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of the koroso l'shabos oineg v'chibadotoy. Zochores yom haShabbos l'kadoshoy. I have an obligation to give kavod to Shabbos. And the way you give kavod to Shabbos is, you have a meal. I'm going to daven 9 o'clock. Come a little late, like I always do. Come a little late. Go to the Kiddush Club and schmooze. Talk during davening. And you know, have a conversation. And then get my aliyah and daven musaf quickly and go home. Because also the Shabbos ending, it's now 11:30, 12 o'clock. Oh, I have a suda. Shmura matzah. Because now it's after the Soif Zman Achila. After the Soif Zman Achila, I can't chametz. So I have shmura matzah. No problems, no worries. Oh, but you're not allowed to eat? Well, today is different. Because today it's Shabbos. And the mitzvah d'oraisa of Shabbos overrides the iser. Whatever is you want to call it, it's not a deraisa of not eating matzah erev Pesach. Why don't we say that? Why isn't that argument a solid, ironclad argument that the whole Klal Yisrael should observe? And why doesn't anyone even want to even think about such an approach? It's something that is so poshut. So here's the answer, and the answer is a very powerful answer, and it really opens up a lot of different issues. It's a very powerful answer. It's not my answer. This is what the Pesukim say, and I want to show you that this answer is going to be the foundation, is going to be the focus between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim and how we understand this answer, which will mushroom into the minhag of eating egg matzah or not eating egg matzah. And here's the answer. The only time you can say in this world that one mitzvah overrides an avera is only when you can be absolutely certain that when you're going to be doing the mitzvah, which will in essence be in violation of an avera, it's l'shem shemayim. It's 100% l'shem shemayim. I don't have any examples at this moment to give you. I don't have an example. I'm sorry, but let's keep that thought for a moment. When you do a mitzvah d'oraisa, which simultaneously is a violation, is an avera, even though it's a minor avera, but when you're doing that avera, you're having pleasure. I have delight. I savor the avera. The avera is delicious. You can't do the avera. Oh, but the mitzvah is the d'oraisa, and a d'oraisa overrides anything else. Correct. Provided that when you're doing the avera, you're not getting any benefit out of the avera. But if you are enjoying that avera, no matter how slight it is, it doesn't matter. You can't do it. Even if the cost is, you're going to lose out on the mitzvah d'oraisa. Better don't do the mitzvah d'oraisa at all than be in violation of a minor avera if the minor avera gives you pleasure. Now, generally, when you do mitzvahs, you know, we don't understand why we're doing mitzvahs, so there's no real pleasure. When it comes to eating food, do you enjoy it? Your stomach enjoys the food very much. If you come home from shul and you're sitting down by the Shabbos table, are you hungry? You're hungry. You are hungry. Now you have a dilemma. Should I be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of Suda Shabbos? But if I'm mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of Suda Shabbos, I'm going to be doing an avera. I'm going to be eating matzah erev Pesach. Let's redefine the question. You're not doing an avera, just an avera. You're enjoying the avera. The avera that you are doing is going in your stomach. It's taking away your hunger pangs. You are enjoying and relishing the avera. That's the reality. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool. I don't like matzah. I'm eating the matzah. I'm a malach elokim tzavakas. I'm eating the matzah l'shem kiddusha Shabbos kodesh. It's 100% l'shem kiddusha Shabbos. I'm eating the matzah. Baloney. You're not a malach elokim tzavakas. You're a mortal. You're a human being. You do, when the Torah tells you to do a mitzvah that's eating, you're having your own private, personal pleasure that has nothing to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't make believe you're a tzaddik and you're doing it l'shem shemayim. Yeah, you do l'shem shemayim, but you're also having pleasure. Let's not make believe that you're doing l'shem shemayim. Thus, it doesn't override the mitzvah. The reason why Klal Yisrael is today, in Erev Pesach, Shchal Yisrael Shabbos, is not going to be davening at 9 o'clock and coming up and eating Shmur Matzah at 12 o'clock after the Zman, and say, well, eating a Suda is a Mitzvah Deraisa. Eating a Suda Shabbos and the Suda Deraisa is going to override the Isser Derabanan. Isser Derabanan. You don't say that, because when you're going to be doing the Isser Derabanan of eating Matzah, Erev Pesach, you're enjoying it. There's personal, selfish pleasure in doing this Avera. And that never, ever overrides even a mitzvah d'oraisa. Now, this issue is an old issue. Here I want to present you a little bit of a chiddush. Where do you have this issue outside the framework of eating? You have this issue in today's day and age, modern times, of Yibum and Chalitza. Now, for the last 1,000 years, Ashkenazim do not have, I don't know how 1,000 years, whatever, yeah, basically 1,000 years. Ashkenazim have a time-honored minog, they do not perform the mitzvah of Yibum. The man Rachmana Litzlan dies and has no children. His wife falls to his brother. The brother can do one of two things. He can marry her, or he can do the procedure called chalitza. What should you really do? Well, it would appear the better thing to do is to marry her and have a child. And that child will carry the name of the deceased. And by marrying her, you are rebuilding the home of your brother. That would be the noble thing to do. Yet for 1,000 years, Ashkenazim have made it very clear, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. Don't confuse me with the facts, what it says in the Torah. We don't do that. A man dies, does not have children, has an almana. The almana does chalitza. She goes to her brother-in-law, she takes off his shoe and she spits at him and says, you good for nothing. You didn't marry me. You didn't rebuild your brother's home. You're a piece of garbage. What do you mean a piece of garbage? The rabbis told me, let me do. The rabbis told me I can't marry you. I would marry you in a heartbeat. The rabbis, bottom line is, you didn't marry me and you're a piece of garbage. I'm spitting on you. What's going on? Why do the Ashkenazim refuse, for the last 1,000 years, do they refuse to allow a man to do the mitzvah of Yibam? And the answer is, here's the answer that touched exactly on this issue. When the brother was alive, before he died, let's say he would have divorced this woman, would the other brother be permitted to marry this woman? No way. It's an erva. To marry a sister-in-law, it's kores, it's incest. It is categorically forbidden in the worst way ever. It is usser, usser, usser. If you were to marry her, be a mamzer. I mean, yeah, it could be a mamsha mamzer. Even if you were to divorce her, she's not an ashes ish, and then the brother would marry her, if I'm not mistaken, chol a mamzer. To marry a sister-in-law, a woman that was once married to his brother, even if they get divorced, she's Eishes Ochiv, it's Kores.
It is a mamzer, because anywhere the Kedushin isn't Topes, it's a mamzer.
Even if they get divorced, even if the brother were to divorce his wife, and that the other brother would now want to marry his sister-in-law, the ex-sister-in-law, it would be kores, and the child would be a mamzer. That's as serious as it gets. But if the brother dies while they're still married, oh, not only is it not a kores, not only is the child not a mamzer, it now becomes a mitzvah. Ooh, look at that. You go mamish mikotze elakotze. Yesterday, this woman was kores. The child will be a mamzer. And now it's the most noble thing to do. It's a mitzvah to marry her. It's a mitzvah to have children with her. How does that work? That's what it is. Now, along come the Ashkenazim. And here is where we're coming to something very, very interesting. The Ashkenazim view this woman, this is their mindset, this is their worldview. They view this woman as always being basically an erva. They view this when the brother dies, and now she's the almana, and now there's a mitzvah to do yibum. Okay, the Torah is permitting you to be with a woman who is really forbidden to you. And therefore, you can be with her, but you better be very careful. Because when you're with her, every time you have dealings with her, it has to be 100% l'shem shamayim. 100% in honor of Hashem. If you are with her and have pleasure being with her, for your own personal pleasure, you enjoy flirting with her, you enjoy her company. So you know, you for your own pleasure, not talk. You know what you're really doing? You're really, truly in violation of having relations with a woman who is an erva. Chai ve'kris. Now we're not going to punish
How
you.
How do we know that? The Torah doesn't say that.
That's the understanding of the Torah. It's technically speaking, nothing will happen to you and it's permitted. And we're not going to go into your mind, what you're thinking. Is it for your personal pleasure? Is it not for your personal pleasure? Shem Shemayim.
Only for the first child.
No, once it's mutter, it's mutter.
Only the first child is not shame.
Okay, but once you're married, you're married forever. You could have 50 children with her. Nothing to make a difference. But has, technically speaking, it's mutter, it's mutter. We don't care what why you want to marry her.
Only the first child.
But it's mut. Once you're allowed to marry her, you're allowed to be married. Or you're allowed to have 50 children with her. There's no limit on how many children you can have with the Yavama.
No, but only the first one is Al-Shem.
Okay, fine. But once you're married to her. There's no limit. But in the minds of the Ashkenazim, the mentality is a Yavama is a very delicate issue. Because a Yavama really is a Cheftza de Isura. A man has a mitzvah to marry his brother's wife. Be'etzem, she is an object of Isur. The Torah said it's mutter. But just because the Torah said she is mutter, behave yourself. Make sure everything that you do, every action that you do, is with Hashem in mind. If you make this personal, for your personal pleasure, you're not. No one's going to touch you. You're not going. It is viewed as improper. It is viewed to be that you are taking advantage of the situation. The Svardim thoroughly disagree with this approach. Traditionally, Svardim had no problem doing Yibum. Rachmana litzlan, a man dies, leaves over an almana, and there are no children. The brother marries the widow. You do yibum right away. If he likes her, even better. If he's marrying her because he likes her, he always wanted to marry her, his brother just got there first, who cares? If it's mutter, it's mutter. Don't go delve into a person's mind and start analyzing, Oh, you're doing it l'shem shemayim. You're not doing it l'shem shemayim. Yesterday it was kares. Now it's not kares. So you should still be. No. If the Torah says it's mutter, don't confuse me with what was. It's mutter. It's mutter.
It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. The Ashkenazim, it's also a mitzvah. There's a difference. Now, by the way, in today's day and age, in the modern times, in the very modern times now, even Sfaradim don't do Yibam. Very rarely will you hear about a case of a Sfaradi doing Yibam. The Sfaradim today became like the Ashkenazim. They don't do Yibam either. They do Chalitza. But there's no question, go back years ago, it was a given. The Sfaradim, they do Yibam immediately. No questions asked. Ashkenazim never did it. They don't do it. What's the difference? It's a different worldview. It's a different mindset. Ashkenazim, they look at this woman, it's a different hashkafa. They look at this woman yesterday was forbidden to me like the plague. It was a chiv koris. This is an erva. It's mutter. Okay, it's mutter. A lot of things are mutter in this world. But if you're gonna, it's mutter, you gotta marry her l'shem shomayim. No one today in this world is on a level to say that when you marry a woman, everything you do is l'shem shomayim. Can't be. It's not the way. We're not angels. There's always an element of your own personal pleasure. And if that personal pleasure is there with this woman, the Ashkenazim are very uncomfortable. They're very uncomfortable. It's a mitzvah to marry her, but she's an erva. So do it. Okay, I'll do it. I could do it. But you know there's a way out. You can do chalitza also. So why should I go marry her and do what's mutter, knowing that I'm not really doing it l'shem shemayim? I'm marrying her because I like her. I'm marrying for my own personal pleasure. And really, this is a woman which really is off limits to me. And it's only due to circumstance, technicalities, I can marry her. But I'm taking advantage. Because I'm just a human being. I have my own taivis, my own desires. So that is why for 1,000 years, Ashkenazim have chosen, if the Torah gave us a way out, take the way out. The Sfaradim have a fundamentally different approach to life and to understanding the Torah. The Sfaradim say the Torah knows good and well that you're a human being. The Torah knows you're a human being. It knows you're an animal. It knows everything about you. And the Torah wasn't given just back then in the time of modern Torah. The Torah was given for us today in the year 2021. And if the Torah tells you there's a mitzvah of Yibam, do Yibam. Or you like her? Good. It's even better if you like her. You'll be a good husband. You like her? Adarava. You want to marry her? Shaloi l'shem shemayim? Good. As long as you marry her. Good for you. It's a whole different approach. So I want to suggest to you, today, you really can't say today anymore, because today everything is a big mishmash today. Today the Sfaradim are Ashkenaz. Ashkenazim are Sfaradim. Everyone became a chosid. All the chassidim became litvaks. Today we live in the global melting pot. Everyone is just morphed into the same thing. Everything is the same today. But not that long ago, there was a divide, a clear divide between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. And we find all of the Sfaradisha Gidoilim, when they heard about Egg Matzah, they embraced it. Egg matzah is the way to go. Ere Pesach shechal liyos b'Shabbos, go for it. Ashkenazim, they don't like it. They don't want to do it. Why? So we gave a whole bunch, we discussed many. I want to tell you another reason why now, based upon this approach. Egg matzah, be'etzem, is matzah. It is matzah. Who are you fooling? There are four reasons why you're not supposed to eat matzah Erev Pesach. There are four reasons. Four reasons why you're not supposed to eat egg matzah Erev Pesach. Matzah Erev Pesach. You're going to fool me and tell me an egg matzah doesn't violate the four reasons, because it's not a type of matzah that you can eat on the Lel Pesach. Thank you very much. Fine. The bottom line is, it looks like matzah. It tastes like matzah, it smells like matzah. On the box, it says matzah. No, it's egg matzah. Technicalities. You can't be yotzei yidei vasa lel Pesach. Thank you very much. Matzah is matzah. So what are you going to so now here's the thing. So what? It's matzah. You have now an obligation right now to be mekayim a mitzvah de'oraisa of having a seuda Shabbos with lechem. Back to our question. Why doesn't the mitzvah de'oraisa of eating bread, of eating lechem on Shabbos override the prohibition of eating matzah erev Pesach? Why not? So I told you the answer. The only time a more severe mitzvah, a more significant mitzvah overrides a lesser is only when you're going to be doing the Avera, you're not deriving any pleasure from the Avera. But if you're going to derive pleasure from the Avera, we don't let you do the mitzvah. Wait a minute. That's the Ashkenazi approach. Don't do Yibum. You know why? Because when you're going to be doing Yibum, you're only a mortal. You're going to have pleasure being with this woman. And you know what? Have pleasure. This woman is an erva. She's your sister-in-law. Chayve kresos. Mamzerus. Excuse me, the Torah says that it's mutter. Oh, very good. Technicality. It's mutter. Yibum. Very good. Just because it's mutter doesn't take away the fact that she's an erva. So, Torah says I can do it. Okay, do it. But make sure you don't have any pleasure doing it. Who says that? So, you don't have any pleasure doing it. I'm a human being. I'm going to have pleasure. So don't do it then. Oh, but the Torah says you can do it. The Torah says you can do it, provided that I don't have any pleasure. I guess you can't do it then. If you can do chalitza, do chalitza. That's an Ashkenazi way of looking at the world. The Sfardim, if the Torah says it's mutter, it's mutter. Don't confuse me with having pleasure, not having pleasure. Adrabah, if you have pleasure, it's even better. Everything will be very good then. It's exactly the same thing. Erev Pesach Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. Erev Pesach Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. You come up on the table, you have matzah. So no one's going to go so far to eat regular shmura matzah. That's already pushing it too far. So what's the next best thing which solves all the problems? Shmura, egg matzah. So you can't be yoytze the mitzvah, so no, it's the next best thing. All right, but let's not fool ourselves. Egg matzah is matzah. You really in very serious violation of the spirit of the law by eating egg matzah Shabbos morning, Erev Pesach, Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. You really are. Let's not fool ourselves. Matzah is matzah. Don't tell me, oh, te'avon. Yeah, you once eat matzah. You're not in the mood of eating matzah tonight. It's not a novelty. It looks like matzah. It tastes like matzah. It's matzah. So what are you going to tell me? Listen here. Don't start up with me. There's a mitzvah de'oraisa right now to eat a suda Shabbos with bread. This is the best I can do without going meshuga. Oh, so you're not allowed to eat matzah? Well, too bad. A mitzvah d'oraisa overrides a minor avera. It's a kleina avera to eat matzah erev Pesach. So what are you going to say? Yeah, but the only time it overrides a little avera is when you're not getting pleasure from the avera. You enjoy the egg matzah. You're hungry. You're getting pleasure. Hey, I'm a Svardi. I don't look at pleasure. If it's mutter, it's mutter. I follow technical rules. Yibum chalitza, I do yibum. Oh, but you're enjoying it? You're having pleasure? Good for me. I have pleasure. The Torah gave me this pleasure. Oh, she was an erva yesterday? That was yesterday she was an erva. She's not an erva today, so it's mutter, 100%. I don't have to have any guilt complex over this. It's mutter. There's a mitzvah derais to have a Suda Shabbos. There's an isur derabanan to eat chomei matzah or Pesach. What's more powerful? Who wins? You know who wins? Eating a Suda Shabbos wins. So therefore, forget about matzah, the prohibition. I'm going to eat matzah. I'm not going to go so meshuggah to eat shmur matzah, but I'm going to eat egg matzah. But you're having hanor? You're having hanor for matzah? You're having hanor? A Sfaradim don't care. They don't go for that. That's not their worldview. That's not their, what's that fancy word? Their, I've got a fancy, whatever the word. It's not their approach to life. The Ashkenazim, no, we're not eating egg matzah today. We're eating chametz. We're going to go under the table. We're going to go under the table. Why are we going under the table? Because it doesn't override the severe, the significant mitzvah of eating a suda does not override an avera when we're getting pleasure from the avera. I like egg matzah, but it's mutter. I don't do yibam. We do chalitza. We don't do yibam because she's an erva, and you're not allowed to have pleasure from an erva. Oh, but the Torah says, no, the Torah says a lot of things. The Torah gave you a way out. It gave you a way out. So I'm trying to suggest to you that this divide that traditionally there has been between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, the Chidah ate egg matzah. Mi gadlo lo me'achidah. And all the Sfaradish Gedolim, they all ate egg matzah. They all embraced egg matzah. And all of the Hasidish Gedolim, they didn't hold from it. They didn't hold from it. Why? Where's the divide? So I want to suggest to you that the divide between them is exactly the divide between the Lumdis in the approach to dealing with Yibam versus Chalitza for the last 1,000 years.
There's only one problem here, that the Torah tells you to have pleasure. The karat al Shabbat oneg. That eating of bread is not like...
But there's an issur, there's a prohibition. This is not my question. There is a prohibition to eat matzah erev Pesach. We have a conflict. This is what I'm not saying. This is not my toy. This is the background. There's a conflict erev Pesach. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat a suda of bread. We have a conflict. There's a prohibition to eat matzah erev Pesach. So what is the rule of thumb? The rule of thumb is the significant mitzvah overrides the insignificant avera. Eating matzah is the oraisa. Eating a suda shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The prohibition of eating matzah erev Pesach is very, very minor. So what is significant will override what is minor. But along come the poskim, they say, not so fast. If that would be true, you would be permitted to eat shemura matzah after 10 o'clock this year on Erev Pesach Chal Yos B'Shabbos. Because the significant mitzvah of eating a Suda Shabbos, a bread, overrides the insignificant prohibition of eating matzah Erev Pesach. So why, Taco, don't we do this? So the answer is, even though it's an insignificant avera, it is an insignificant avera in which we derive personal pleasure that is not l'shem shamayim. That is the game changer. When you eat food, when you ingest food, you're not thinking about Hashem. You're thinking about yourself. Just like when a man marries a woman, there are elements in that relationship that are not about Hashem, it's about yourself, your own pleasure. And that's a game changer. And that's why no one, even Sfaradim, will not go so far. No one is going so far, Erev Pesach, to permit a person to eat Shemura Matzah after 10 o'clock for his Suda Shabbos, even though you have all the reason in the world why it should be permitted. The mitzvah of eating a Suda Shabbos in any standard is more important and more significant than the prohibition of not eating matzah Erev Pesach. And yet no one across the spectrum is permitting you to eat Shmur Matzah Shabbos morning. No one. Why not?
Because there is another way to do it.
So what? It's not normal.
The same thing as a yibum. Because there is another way to do it. Chalitza. So that's the chalitza.
That's for the Ashkenazim. You're talking like an Ashkenazi.
Ashkenazim, yeah.
But not the Svardim. The Svardim say, who cares? There's another way. I don't care about chalitza. Don't tell me about chalitza. If the Torah says it's mutter, it's mutter. Oh, but you're having your own pleasure. This woman, do you realize who she is? She's a cheftza de Yisura. She's a chiv karis, as a mamzer. And you're having your own pleasure. The Torah says you can do it. You got to do l'shem shemayim. Can you tell me you're doing l'shem shemayim? Can you tell me? No. So the Sfaradim say, who cares? If the Torah says it's mutter, it's mutter. Don't talk to me about personal pleasure. So the Sfaradim say, we're going to give in to the Ashkenazim a little bit. We'll be nice. We'll play nice with them. We're not going to eat shmura matzah. We're not going to chep it. Shmura matzah, we're not going to. Really, they would eat shmura matzah. You can eat, really, you should eat. There's no reason why you can't eat shmura matzah according to the mentality of a Sfaradi. Because this is more important and this is minor. Oh, but you're having pleasure? Who cares? All right, we care a little bit. We're not going to eat shmur matzah. But egg matzah? No. Egg matzah, atkan. The buck stops here. I can really eat shmur matzah. So that I'm not going to. But egg matzah? That I'm not going to. Now you can't tell me not to do. That I'm going to do. Ashkenazim, the same way they say we're not doing Yibum, because it's our pleasure, we're not eating matzah, because we're having pleasure for matzah, period. All right, now that concludes this. I think this Yisoid, there's Weltanschauung, is that how you pronounce that word? The Weltanschauung, your worldview, your whole personality. I firmly believe that this divide, traditionally, as I told you today, it's all the same today. I guarantee you go into Atere Torah, and you go to the real Starka B'nai Torah, the Sfaradim. There are a lot of, there's such good Sfaradim today. Starka, I guarantee you're going to find all the Sfaradim in Atere Torah. They're eating chametz. You're going to see chametz today. And the Ashkenazim like me, I'm eating egg matzah. We live in a world, a mishmash today. The world has become a grosse mishmash today. It's a Purim spiel of the whole world today. But in the olden days, there was a Weltanschauung. There were Yekes, and there was Sfaradim, and Ashkenazim, and Hasidim, and different types of Hasidim, a whole, every Hasidus had its unique flavor, and Minhagim. It was a whole world out there. It became a big melting pot today. But in the olden days, Sfaradim, egg matzah. Ashkenazim, chametz. There are many different reasons, but I believe this is a factor which plays a major part in the decision of how to go. Because the truth is, start with the basics. Eat shmura matzah. The mitzvah of the suda is much more important than the prohibition of eating chametz. Eat shmura matzah. Why not? You're having pleasure. Oh, you're having personal pleasure. Changes the equation. But how much does it change the equation? Look at Yibum. By Yibum, you see the Sfaradim, they don't care about the pleasure. Ashkenazim care. That Weltanschauung comes into play Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. The Sfaradim go back to their place. We don't care about the pleasure. Mutter is mutter. Ashkenazim care about the pleasure. Osir is osir. Find another solution. You go to Meir Appeldorf, you sit with him under the table and eat the chametz. The Svardim, they hold. You have Yibum and Chalitza, right? So what's the difference between the Svardim and the Ashkenazim? When it comes to Yibum and Chalitza, Yibum! Chasana! Ashkenazim, when it comes to the Yibum Chalitza, Chalitza! This is their personality.
How is the point about having pleasure seen in the Torah as a reason why we don't do evil?
This is This is a minhag. This is what I'm telling you now is not mine. This is a very basic explanation to understand. Really, it is a Gemara. It's a Tana. Abba Shol says this. Abba Shol says he talks about this exact idea, but Sfardim ignore it. Ashkenazim take it seriously. In Yibum, it is a fact that for 1,000 years Ashkenazim did not do Yibum, period. And Sfardim embraced Yibum. And the explanation given for 1,000 years is what I just told you. And it's based on a piece of Gemara. Abba Shol says something just like this, is that this woman, Be'etzem, is a Chefza di Isura, and you better be Mechavim L'Shem Shemayim. Is what Abba Shol says in the Gemara something that we take seriously, L'Halacha or not? Ashkenazim take it very seriously. The Sfardim, Divrei Agada. Don't confuse me with that. Mutter is Mutter.
Sanzer on the Barash of Acholav, that if something is Mutter because of a combination of a Terim, then it's an Inyan to eat it.
To show the Munas Chazal. That's a whole different topic. You have to show your Munas. That's different.
Is suddenly Mutter to you? You're going to push it away?
It's not comparable. No. The example that you're giving is not comparable. You're dealing with a shail in halacha.
The next thing is that you have in Ashkenazim, I don't know, maybe inspired them too. A lot of times when a woman died young, you right away married her older sister.
That's not a shail of Yibum. That's a new Yibum. This mutter.
Why would you go to the sister?
Because she'll raise the children. If a woman, the reason why it was always done, number one, first of all, if a man likes this woman, he'll like her sister. A shidduch is a miracle. A person can like another person, so if they come from the same stock and he had a good relationship with his wife, it's very likely to get along with the sister very well. Number two, if there are children, who will be loyal to raise the yesoimim? If a man marries a woman that has no connection to these children, there's a real concern that the stepmother will abuse and will be nasty to her stepchildren, will favor her own children over the stepchildren. But if a man marries his wife's sister, it is a natural feeling of loyalty to your own family. You can be much more certain that the sister-in-law will care for the children of her sister like they were her own children. It's a very practical thing. All right, now the other things I'll be writing on the table very quickly. When a person eats, this is a very important halacha, this is a very, very critical halacha, that when a person eats erev pe, if you do eat chametz, and you do eat chametz, and you're going to go eat the chametz in the corner of the room, you have to eat a kezayis, or lechatchil, a beitza of the chametz. Why? Because otherwise, when you wash netilas yodayim, it will be a bracha levatola. There's a general rule, people don't forget this halacha. A lot of halachas come out from this halacha. It's a very important halacha. That when a person is planning to eat bread, I only want to eat a very, very small amount of bread. I want to eat just like the crust, there's some bread lying on the table. You know the halacha is, you can eke a hamoitzi lechem in haaretz and eat it. And you don't have to wash. Is that really correct? I may be making a mistake. Maybe that you have to wash, but you don't make bracha of al netilas yodam. I don't know. I have to go check it out. I think I'm wrong. I think you have to wash. If you want to eat a small amount of bread, you're not going to bench hamaitzi, but you want to just take a small amount of bread, so you wash. You do not recite a bracha of al netilas yodayim if you're not planning to eat a kezayis or a beitza, a lechatchila a beitza, which is two kezayis in a bread. So this year, when people are going to be washing for lechem mishneh, and they're going to eat, if they're not going to eat from the bread a kezayis, because they have such the mitzamsem, kezayis is very, very little. You know what a kezayis is? The amount of bread you can stuff into a schnapps cup. A teeny little schnapps cup, 1 ounce, or 1 ounce, the standard disposable 1 ounce whiskey shots, the plastic whiskey shots, the small ones. Now I see they're making big ones already. But it used to be the small ones, it's 1 ounce. The amount of challah you can stick in there is 1 ounce. If you do not plan on eating 1 ounce, the displacement of 1 ounce, you do not make a bracha of al netilas yodayim. So today, by people, when they wash, they make a bracha of netilas yodayim. But if this year, they're going to be mitzamsim so much in eating the bread, because they're afraid they're going to leave over, flush down the toilet, you have to still be careful to eat a kezayis, a bread, so the bracha of al netilas yodayim should not be a bracha levatola. Okay, that's one point. Another point is, take 1 second, and that is, there are other solutions for what to do erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. One other solution that used to be done, I don't think it's really done, is it's a little strange, is they would, in the matzah factory, when they make the matzahs, the Shei Matzahs Mitzvah, there's one run of matzah. Can you imagine this? I'm sure you've all gone to a matzah baking factory, and they're all sitting there, L'Shei Matzahs Mitzvah, L'Shei Matzahs Mitzvah. You have to say L'Shma. Well, there's one run, they go to the matzah baking factory, and they say, Shaloi L'Shei Matzahs Mitzvah. Shaloi L'Shei. Mayor, he's in charge of that run. Shaloi L'Shei Matzahs Mitzvah. And they do a whole run of regular Shmura Shatze Matzah. It comes in the box, and there's a big red sticker. This matzah was baked. It's 100% kosher LePesach, 35 handmade matzah, $35 a pound. We'll charge you even more. We're going to charge you $50. You know why? Because this is a special halacha. This was made sheloi l'shei matzah's mitzvah. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? Not everyone likes egg matzah. And if you don't like egg matzah, so you can eat, how could you eat matzah? Well, basically, the letter of the law is the only prohibition, technically, to eat matzah erev Pesach is matzah which you can use to be yoytzei yidei chayvasai b'lel Pesach. But if the matzah was made shaloi l'shei matzah's mitzvah, you cannot use this matzah for lel Pesach. So this matzah is better than egg matzah, because it's real bread. It's real mamash, the real mamash mochudar. It's real lechem. It's as good as it gets. And they don't have to worry about crumbs, because it's a shmur egg matzah you can't eat on Pesach. So here, you can eat this on Pesach. You can even eat this on Pesach. The only thing you can't do with it on Pesach is, you can't use it for the Seder. Okay. Because I can't use it for the Seder. Oh, I'm not in violation of the Minog, of Boil Arusasoi, of Avchana, of Te'ovoin. It's a very little shrach, you know. What do you mean, not Te'ovoin? It's the same exact thing. What do you mean? Okay, it's not, obviously, this is not a perfect solution by any means. But believe it or not, people did this. This is something that people did years ago. They made special, they didn't like egg matzah. They don't like it. Maybe they held egg matzah was chametz gomor. They held shita the gemara that it's egg matzah is chametz gomor. The same way, you can't eat it on Pesach, you can't have it in the house. Or maybe it was because they wanted to eat it. Maybe, I think the solution may be, they want to eat it, and that's the reason why. You gain an advantage, you can eat it after soif zman achila. You can eat it the whole day. Right, egg matzah, you're not allowed to eat past what time? Past 10 o'clock. But real matzah that was made shaloi l'shei matzah's mitzvah, you can eat the whole day. So you don't
have to stop in
by Milcha Ketana. So they have a 2 minyan. Anyone who wakes up late, there's a special late minyan. And we have there a suda for you in the shul with special shatza matzah that was made shaloi l'shem matzah's mitzvah. This is another solution. And by the way, if you do wake up late, last thing, if you wake up late, Erev Pesach, and and you didn't daven yet, and if you're going to daven, a quick davening, you're going to miss the zman, too bad. You missed the zman. You're too bad. You don't eat. You don't wash. The prohibition of eating before davening is more important than the mitzvah, the oraisa, of eating a su'uda Shabbos. That's the halacha, l'chol ha'deis. If a person, chas v'sholem, wakes up late, erev Pesach chal yos b'Shabbos, and it's 10 minutes left until soif zman achila, you lose. You're not allowed to eat bread. Eat bread, wash on egg matzah. Assuming you don't have, you have in your house the shmur matzah, the matzah that was made shalo l'shem matzah, then you can eat it. But if the only thing you have in your house is egg matzah or chametz, and you only have 10 minutes left until the zman is over, and you didn't daven yet, you lose. You're not going to be washing today. Daven first. When you finish davening, it's already past the zman. Too bad for you. Eat your fish, your cholent, whatever you want to eat, but no washing. You lost out. You're not allowed to eat before. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed. The big child is, let's say you come home from shul and someone is sleeping. Are you mechuyev to wake them up so that they're able to wash for a su'udo, or let them sleep? Let them sleep. All right, there's a little bit more. Shalosh Shuris, more Torah. We'll have to do some of this. I don't want to spend the whole time on this. I want to go do Haggadah and other things. But this year, you can't avoid learning these halachas. These are very unique halachas. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you for coming and listening. Have a wonderful day. Be well, everyone. Zay gesund.
So we should actually name the Suda on Shabbos morning the Yibum's Suda.
I hear what you're saying.
You bring your Yavama and you eat the...
I hear what you're saying.